This podcast brought to you by Hope 103.2.
We are back to school, and that means textbooks are coming out, school books are coming out, and classical literature is about. We have Natasha Moore from the Centre for Public Christianity, who is a bit of a guru on classical Victorian literature. Tash, can you share with us the importance and the goodness of reading classical literature?
Duncan, where do I start? This is one of my favourite things in the world to talk about, so I don't even know where to begin. So, I mean, I think one of the amazing things about reading books, and especially reading books that are not just from your own time and place, is just how unpredictable it is. So, you know, you just never know what you're going to get or what it's going to do to you. So, yeah, like there are some books that I read where while I'm reading them, these characters and their lives are, in some ways, maybe this is a little bit pathetic, but they kind of are more real to me than my own life. So I'll be, you know, at work or I'll be out with friends. I'll be like, oh, why am I kind of a bit sad or anxious? And I'll realize that, you know, it's because this person in this book has made this really stupid choice and I'm really worried about it. And,
you know, it just makes you a super compassionate person, Tasha.
Maybe it does. I sympathize with unreal people as well as the real ones.
And I mean, in a time where we are mostly engaging with modern literature like The Hunger Games, even, of course, the Twilight novels, if we dare to mention them, what is it about the ones that are, you know, a few years old that engage with us at a different level to those?
Yeah, look, I'm a big Harry Potter fan. I'm a Hunger Games fan. I even, dare I say it, have enjoyed, to some extent, the Twilight books.
Wow.
So I'm not advocating being a literary snob here, but I think there are a couple of advantages to reading some of the older stuff. So I think it's a bit like, you know, if you grow up in a small country town and, you know, you may absolutely love your town, but if you never travel anywhere else, then there's lots that you won't understand about yourself and your own culture, as well as other people and how they live. And I think that reading older literature is a bit like that. You know, if you only ever read stuff from your own time, then, you know, you kind of get a bit insular. It's giving a voice to people who, you know, lived lives that we couldn't even imagine. So it's kind of like a democracy of the dead. We don't just hear from people who happen to be alive at this time. We want to hear from, you know, it's a bit like time travel.
Mm.
You know, it's talking to and hearing from people who have lived lives that are otherwise unimaginable to us. And it's also, I mean, classic literature, the stuff that survived for decades and for centuries, is a bit like joining this really big conversation that's ongoing. So you know how if everybody's talking about this movie that's out at the moment or a TV show or a YouTube video that's gone viral, and if you're out of the loop, then you can't really participate in those conversations.
Yep.
These are kind of the YouTube videos that have been going viral for generation after generation.
Wow.
And if you're not familiar with those, if you just don't know what's going on in that conversation, then that leaves you out of this kind of meta conversation that's going on in our culture.
So
I think it's good to give them a go.
Are you telling me that I've missed out because I haven't read any of Jane Austen's stuff?
I'm absolutely telling you that, Duncan. You should go home today and immediately pick up Pride and Prejudice.
And Carly will come home and see you reclining on the couch wondering what has happened to her husband.
Right.
But you do bring up an interesting point, because there's an engagement with cultures and stories outside of our own. And I think particularly in the modern tech world as well, to go back with the printed word, the written word, what are the benefits of just sitting and reading and engaging away from computer and perhaps other, you know, modern technologies?
Yeah, I think one of the things that people complain about with all the online reading that we do, all the clicking around and scrolling and that kind of thing, is that there's a surface attention there that's really useful for some things, for just gathering, picking up information all over the place, but there's a deep concentration and a deep engagement with things that we just don't get if that's the only kind of reading we ever do. So I think one of the, and this is something that you sort of have to do if you want to read classic literature, is you need to give yourself space to sit down and have some proper time and to get into it. But because, you know, if you were talking to someone from Victorian England, say, it wouldn't be as easy as just having a chat with your best friend. Like, you'd need to kind of focus and give it a bit of effort, but it would be worth it. You know, that would be really cool. So I think if we sit down and allow ourselves time to get used to the way that these people are writing and the world that they're wanting to draw us into, then, you know, the payoff from that, you know, these worlds that you get access to that you otherwise would never have access to, I think it's really worth it.
Okay, Natasha, here it is. This is a question for a person who loves books and especially classic literature. What are your top five suggested books that we should be reading right now?
Oh my. It's a lot of pressure. It's like me asking you to choose your favorite child, Duncan. You could probably do that off the top of your head. But okay, I'll give you a range. So my actual favorite book is Moby Dick, but this is a very contested choice. Some people love it and some people hate it. So if you're looking for a surefire winner, don't necessarily read Moby Dick. The Once and Future King by T.H. White. This is, do you remember the Disney movie, The Sword and the Stone?
Yeah.
When he becomes the squirrel and all that. So that's actually the first book of this series on, like, King Arthur that was written in the middle of the 20th century. It kind of reflects on the Nazis and stuff, but it goes through Arthur and Guinevere and Lancelot and those whole stories, and it's amazing. Middlemarch by George Eliot is another favorite of mine. Mm-hmm. It's fat, you know, it's not for the faint-hearted, but...
Yep, you're going in for the
amazing,
big guns.
Amazing characters. The Screwtape Letters by C.S. Lewis is much shorter and, you know, a classic, much beloved of many people. I've read it probably dozens of times. Do I get one more?
Yep, one more.
Let's go with Catch-22. So, again, it's kind of you either love it or hate it, but... It's laugh out loud funny. It's a war book, but it's completely absurd and you kind of are laughing out loud every page.
Well, you know what, Natasha? There's a few on that list that I haven't heard of or read, so I'm going to put them on the list and they're going there. Thank you so much for joining us this morning. Really appreciate it.
Oh, thanks for having me, guys.
Thank you.
Awesome. Thanks, Natasha.